for the most entertaining talk anywhere. Stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station. Your real 24 talk hours of commercial-free programming.
Get out the tool belts and the duct tape as Backtime builds a showcase for the historic events for December 1st. In 1913, Ford introduced the assembly line method of building automobiles. In 1952, doctors in Denmark built the first successful sex change operation. And in 1955, Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat to a white man aboard a Montgomery, Alabama city bus and built the foundation of a long overdue civil rights movement in America. That's Back Time for December 1st. This is your announcer speaking.
An area widow is outmourned. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Friends and relatives of a deceased Minnesota man say the level of bereavement achieved by fellow mourner Curtis O'Neill far surpassed all other attendees, including O'Neill's widow. O'Neill was reportedly seen wailing loudly, gnashing his teeth, even throwing himself across the dead man's coffin. Eyewitness Carol Tarson.
I have no idea who he is. Nobody knows why he cares so much about my dead uncle.
It was later revealed that Curtis also mourns on elevators and recently broke down completely over a piece of rare steak. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Elderly Turkey Carver. Your no spring chicken, Grandpa. You'd lost control of your memory and your bladder, but not the most dangerous item in the kitchen, the electric knife.
Oh my God, everybody stand back.
Lesser men would have relinquished the task at the onset of blindness. But you, sir, look past those cataracts and see your holiday duty.
That's not the turkey.
And when you drool on the bird, it's almost like basting.
We just lost our appetite.
So the next time you're cowering under the table, hoping beyond hope that the lovable old coot doesn't saw right through it, raise a mangled drumstick in salute to Mr. Elderly Turkey Carver, a real American hero.
Mr. Elderly Turkey Carver.
He's shaking so much, there's no reason to plug it in.
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back from Thanksgiving, Susie. It's December 1st.
Thank you. Yeah. Happy December to you.
Yes. Are you still recovering from all the food? Did you eat a lot?
I did eat quite a bit, as usual. Well, for Thanksgiving. but it's not really the food I'm recovering from.
Oh, yeah? Well, I figured you'd probably party hard in Vegas. Gone for 4 days.
Was it 4 days? Yeah, I guess
right?
It was. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yep.
Wow. And you told me it took you quite a while to get home.
Well, first of all, we left on Wednesday night at 11 o'clock.
At night,
because yeah. I was supposed to have class until 10, but I ended up skipping my biology class because I was in the middle of doing a photo shoot for this photographer, Hal Bergman.
Uh-huh.
And the photo shoot was going like so well, and I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to stay and actually, keep working for this guy. And so I started drinking a little bit while I was doing the photo shoot, and then we got a little bit high, and then we kept drinking, and then by the time I actually got home, I got home at like 9 o'clock, and Lisa's like, all right, you ready to go? And I'm like, yeah, we'll leave at 10. I was passed out in my bed. She and Will, her cousin and my friend, they didn't even know. They thought I like left the house or something. I was so quiet, and they saw my feet sticking out from under my covers. They're like, Susie, wake up. It's time to go.
Wow.
So we got on the road a little bit later, but it ended up being cool because there were flash floods the whole way.
Really?
The entire way, there were flash floods. Like, the earth would just, like, shake, and there would be thunder, and then the entire horizon would turn completely, like, blue and just lit up.
Wow. And you can't drive fast like this, right?
Well, you're not supposed to.
You're like hydroplane with a car.
Yes. Yeah. And I had two passengers with me, and I'm in my little Mini Cooper, so it's not like I'm in a big SUV that's, like, really, really safe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a safe driver, but I don't
oh,
know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Shut up. So we made it there in under 4 hours still, despite all the flash flooding.
Really? Wow, that's amazing. Then you had to go very fast, Susie.
I was averaging...
making it in 3 hours?
Three hours, 40 minutes.
Okay.
I was still averaging about 80, 85. Mm. Averaging, that meant I was going faster at some other points.
Yes, obviously.
Oh, but yeah, so that was actually fine, the drive down there. It was actually kind of beautiful, like being in the rain and just having all of a sudden, you know, 1 minute the road is completely dry, then the flash floods will go for like 2 minutes,
wow.
And then all
that's
of a sudden you're
cool.
out of it and the road's dry again.
Yeah.
It's like, wait.
That's pretty cool, actually.
I know. Yeah. You would have actually loved it because
yeah,
you
love
the rain.
Yes, I do.
But the drive home sucked.
Really?
Oh, man, did that suck. I knew it was going to be the worst travel day of the year.
Right.
And you know these things.
Yes.
So I tell myself, self, you know, be prepared for this.
Yeah.
And Lisa was like, I don't want to get home really late. Like, let's leave early, like 11 or 12 in the afternoon. And I was like, sweetheart.
That's not early.
Sweetheart. So, you know.
No, you see, if I were dealing with something like this, I'd get up like at 5 and leave at 6 at the latest, you know, before everybody else.
Well, that's what I was, after we had gone 50 miles or 40 or 50 miles, we made it like outside of Vegas to a little town called Prim, where they have Terrible's Casino.
Mm-hmm.
What an awful name for a casino, by the way. But
it's what's the name?
Terrible's.
No, no, but the name of the place. What you call it?
Oh, Prim. The town is Prim.
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 P-R-I- Not Prompt.
P-R-I-M-M.
Oh, okay. Never heard of it, but that's fine. Because I know there's also a little town called Param.
You know, like, you know where the roller coaster is?
Yes, yeah.
So that's Prim.
Oh, is that what it is? It's right on the state line, right?
Yep. So we had made it there, and it took us 3 hours to get there.
To get there? Wow. Usually it's like half an hour, and you get there.
Yep. Yeah. But so, you know, the first 50 miles, it was actually, like, really fun, because what can you do? You're in a two-lane highway. You are stuck crawling, like, five miles an hour.
Oh, I would go fucking bananas, Susie. I can't deal with this shit.
I picked up so many people. Lisa and I, actually, at one point, we were out of control, Sam. We were so out of control. At one point, like, I had this guy that was next to me, and I was just like, ooh, hi. And we're just, like, rocking out, and we're dancing in the car, and we're shaking our little titties around, and we're just having a grand old time. And then at one point, we, like, pulled over on the side of the road, and I did, like, a whole photo shoot of Lisa taking pictures of me, like, crawling on the roof of my car.
Yeah. And, like, people are watching.
People are watching. People are beeping, and they're cheering, and they're like, yeah.
Wow.
And we're just, like, smiling and waving at everyone that's coming around us. There's one old, miserable woman. She totally looked Vegas. You know, she had her fake, puffy blonde hair and her red lips and her cigarette hanging out of her mouth, and she's just like, And she wagged her little finger with just like a tisk tisk look. It's like, well, fuck you, bitch. You're going to be stuck in traffic and you're going to be miserable, and at least we're happy.
Yeah, exactly. Put on a show.
Put on a whole show. This one guy actually.
And for you, it's a golden opportunity. You love the attention and everything. And you've got a captive audience.
Oh, and very captive audience. They've got nowhere else to go. This one guy actually. He pulled in front of us, and he was, like, digging furiously for something in his bag. And Lisa and I were like, I wonder what he's looking for. Finally, he sticks a camera out, and he's like, I got to take a picture of you two. He's like, you guys are a riot.
Really?
It's like, oh, great. Now we've got cars driving by taking pictures of us.
Yeah. So you took Lisa with you, too, huh?
Yes, I took Lisa and Will. Yeah. All three of us in my little Mini Cooper.
Wow.
Plus luggage. There was lots of room, I tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure. So did you have fun? I'm sure you had so many stories to tell.
I
just wanted to quickly give a shout out to a fan named Arthur, and
was
he's
the
from
guy
Poland.
From Poland?
That's a guy from Poland.
First of all, I want to tell Arthur, I'm a quarter Polish.
Really?
My dad's mom is Polish, from Poland.
Okay, so now you can relate to him somehow.
I know. I actually read this to my dad. I was like, "Look, Daddy," he was like, "People listen to me." And the one dude's from Poland.
Yeah, well, people listen from all over, you know. And I just wanted to read this because it was really nice. And I thought it was funny, too. He says, hello, Sam and Susie. I listen to Sam and Susie every day in Poland. When you're starting Sam and Susie in the morning in Poland, it's 6 p.m. I would like to inform you that I listen to your radio show to learn English language skills.
Arthur, I've got to tell you.
This is the wrong place to learn English from.
We have dirty, dirty potty mouths.
Yeah, but you see, he's probably interested in learning the language, the slang and shit, you know, and all the cuss words. So this is the place to be, definitely.
They don't teach this stuff in school.
Yeah, I never thought I'd teach English to a
Polish
kid.
In ESL classes.
And he says, it's not only learning, it is also damn funny entertainment. So that's cool. You know, I love to hear that. And then he goes on about the archives and stuff. And he says, you know, each time I understand better and better what you discuss.
Oh, man.
And so this is cool, man. And yeah, so he says the radio stations in Poland are boring. And he says they're as boring as the guts of oil.
I almost fell off my chair when I read that. That's hysterical.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but apparently it's very boring.
Yeah.
I've never heard that one before, but I'm going to use it.
Yeah. So he also finishes by saying, greet Susie. She's a very amazing and beautiful girl. Sorry for my language mistakes, best. Well, your language is awesome, I think. You know, when you don't live in the States and you speak English and you understand what the hell we're talking about, you know, that's pretty good English in my book. Well, Arthur, you're invited to come to LA anytime and sit in with us on the show.
You could stay with me.
Yeah, there you go. Susie will let you.
Plenty of room in my bed. I hope you don't mind a creaky bunk bed that's on the verge of collapse. But.
Yeah. And then you've got the best fucking t-shirt today, you know. What does it say, Susie?
I don't know. You tell me.
You were never my boyfriend. This is so fucking appropriate for you.
I have to meet up with the Franz later today to get my bike back and to return some of the wires and stuff that I have of his. And so I put on this t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
You were never my boyfriend,
is
so take
new
that.
Or have you had it for a while?
Oh, I've had it forever. This shirt has been through a couple of boyfriends.
Really?
I have I have another one, too. It's amazing. It says, I'm not with stupid anymore. Oh, isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
The boyfriends get really pissed off when they see me wearing the shirts because I wear them around and I'll wear them with, I don't know, with my new guy or wherever.
Yeah.
Whatever. And they're just like, what the fuck? Why are you wearing that shirt? Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
No, I'm just not with stupid anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you were never my boyfriend. What?
God, you're fucking mean sometimes.
What? I can't help it.
But yeah, I mean, you go through guys like fucking socks, you know, and they I don't think they appreciate
it. I don't
that.
Wear socks.
No.
You don't think they appreciate it?
No, I don't.
In fact, I'm sure they don't.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
But they fall in your trap and that's it, you know? It's like a Venus fire... No,
a fly Venus trap. Fly trap.
Venus fly trap. And yeah, I mean, you just lure them. You eat them up, spit them out, and move on to the next. You love that, don't you?
No, I don't.
You don't love it?
Oh, I do.
You do? Sure you do.
I'm sorry. What can I say?
Yeah. A heartbreaker.
I had like a 48-hour date this weekend. The guy had so much fun, he wouldn't leave.
Really?
I'm like, go away. You know, all of a sudden, he moved into my dad's house. And my dad's like, all right, this party keeps growing. First, it was just Lisa and me. And then Will came. And then all of a sudden, this guy Justin came. And my dad's like, all right, I'm feeding like all of your friends and boyfriends here. What the fuck is going on? My dad came home from golf one day and like we were all like naked in the hot tub wearing these like ridiculous swim caps that have flowers all over them, just wasted, smoking cigars. And he's like, who are you guys? Like, who is this guy in my hot tub? I was like, oh, that's Justin. I picked him up last night. And my dad's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so how did you pick up Justin?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny. I know Justin from Eric, from my ex Eric.
Mm-hmm.
But when Eric and I were in Vegas, and I was supposed to be getting married to Eric and having my bachelorette party, and I was having, like, the time of my life. What?
Getting married. Go ahead.
I was getting married. But so, all of a sudden, Eric, you know, Eric came to Vegas the day after. I thought he stood me up, and then I was like, I was left at the altar. Oh, my God. But then he was really just surprising me and coming later. But so, he contacted a friend of his, this guy Justin, who lives in Vegas, saying, can you get us into the Playboy Club and, you know, get us on the list? Because I'm going to have, like, an army of girls, and they're all hot and wet and ready to go. And, like, so Eric basically had an entourage of, like, you know, six girls or something. And we walk into this Playboy Club, and he introduces me to his friend Justin.
Mm-hmm.
I was wasted at the time. I don't even remember what Justin looked like. All I remember was I was having a grand old time, and apparently I almost got kicked out of the club at the time for giving Eric a lap dance.
Oh, really?
Yes, Justin had to inform me of this over the weekend.
And you can't do that in a club?
Apparently... You know, you would think you could, because, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, maybe the dancers are not, but...
No, I know. You've got burlesque dancers, like, dancing, like, on the bar, like, all over the place, you know, taking their clothes off. You've got people on the dance floor that have their hands, like, shoved down guys' pants. Guys have their hands, like, in girls' crotches. I mean, You know what I mean? Like, and I'm just straddling the guy, like, giving him a little bit of a shimmy.
Yeah, and you're not even a dancer there. That's what I'm saying.
You know? I know.
Yeah, what the fuck did they
care? Well, actually, at a strip club once upon a time in Reno, I got in trouble because I sat in a guy's lap, and I was kind of giving him a little bit of a show. And the bouncer came over and was like, ma'am, you're going to have to dismount. And I was like, why? And he said, because you're putting on a better show than the girls. You're taking away their money. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Have you considered dancing? You should dance. You know, I mean, it's not selling your body, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
No?
I'm going to stick with the phone sex operator.
Well, what's going on with that? Did you
apply yet? I actually forgot about it until I just thought about it. let me backtrack. So then, I almost get kicked out of the club in Vegas. That was like a year and a half ago. And so the same thing almost happened this year. Over this weekend, I was just kind of like sitting on his lap and, you know, shimmying a little bit and shaking and kind of being a tease. Mm-hmm. Because I'm such a good tease.
Fuck yes.
I really, really am. Yeah, I've got it like down to a science.
You're a fucking expert at it.
I'm a fucking expert. Yeah, like Sam, you
master.
Really, you haven't seen me out in the wild.
No, I haven't.
You only hear my stories and exactly. You see me when I'm pretty tame.
Mm-hmm.
But once someone lets me loose.
Really?
Oh, fuck. What?
I don't know. I can't get over this shit. You're so funny.
So,
all right.
Oh, but... There's so much to tell. I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
But so anyway, first of all, Lisa, Will, and I.
Well, wait a minute before you get in. Oh. This story has to be short because we got to call our author in a few minutes.
Are we calling him at 9:30 or
9:20?
9:20.
Yeah, we're gonna have actually an editor of the Webster Dictionary, and we're gonna talk to them about something they're promoting, like Word of the Year or something. So it sounds pretty interesting.
I wonder what it takes to get to. For the word to be word of the year.
I don't know. Well, we're going to find out when we call them.
Actually, I did not get my word of the day this morning. I was just thinking about that.
Oh, you get a word of the day?
Every day.
On your phone?
Well, I get it on my email. It comes through directly.
Oh, cool. What's today's word? Oh, you didn't
get
today's
word?
I didn't
get one. Yeah.
What's the last word you have there?
Hold on. Let me look. Let me check it out here. Word. Word. Word, yo.
Okay, we're going to dial
tenacious, domicile, chaw bacon. That was a good one.
Chaw bacon?
Chaw bacon. C-H-A-W-B-A-C-O-N.
Yes.
Let's see what chaw bacon means. I didn't look it up. Bumpkin or a hick?
Whatever.
Good afternoon. Webster's New World. Mike Agnes.
Yes, good morning, Mike. This is Sam and Susie in the morning calling you from Los Angeles. How are you doing this morning?
We're doing just fine, thank you.
Wonderful. And where are we calling you?
We're in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, Cleveland.
Nice.
Wow, I still need to go there.
The exotic, enchanted Monte Carlo of the Midwest.
Yeah. And this is where the dictionary originates, right?
That's right. This is the editorial office with 12 editors or 12 employees here, and this is where the dictionaries are written.
Wow. So all it takes is 12 people?
We'll do twice the number of dictionaries if you double the staff.
No, absolutely. But so you have a variety of different dictionaries and stuff, or is it just a...
Yes, different sizes, different combinations of content. For instance, we have a couple of dictionaries where the top two-thirds is dictionary and the bottom one-third of each page is thesaurus. Some people find that very useful.
Definitely.
We have the standard college dictionaries. We have some smaller paperback dictionaries that are very popular. We have a large print dictionary. In fact, we have two.
Mm.
So a whole family, whole line.
Definitely. And
are the words constantly changing? I mean, you know, you think all the words in the English language are already out there, and don't you already have all of the words?
Well, obviously we have new ones, right?
If you did a dictionary with all of the potential words in English, the number of entries would run to 1 billion.
Whoa.
It would be 80 volumes.
That's amazing.
What?
That's amazing. So how do you choose the words you're going to put in there? Are those like the most used words, or what's the criteria?
Yes. Every dictionary is built to a certain size and coverage or scope of language. Now, everybody's familiar with the college dictionary, which is about 1,700 pages and has between 150 and 170,000 entries.
Mm-hmm.
That covers most of what adults need, unless they're in a very specialized field, medicine, chemistry, physics, or something, and they would have technical dictionaries to cover that vocabulary.
Mm.
We look at three things in choosing words to add to the dictionary. We look at how long has this word been in use? What sort of track record does it have? Typically, we demand at least 3 years before we consider putting it in. Mm-hmm. We look for, you're quite right, relative frequency compared with the other words that have come into the dictionary. If it only shows up in the Los Angeles Journal of Chiropractic Surgery, it's probably too narrow.
It's not going to be too,
it's too unusual.
Yeah.
And we look for breadth. Does it show up in your newspaper as well as the New York Times, maybe TV Guide, and maybe The Economist?
Mm.
We don't want something that's peculiar only to Los Angeles unless we were able to label it as dialect.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with dialect.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with dialect. But
now, what
yes,
about certain words
breadth of usage
from like certain dialects, you know, that have been in usage, you know what I mean, within like certain groups of people? If they've been
yes.
in usage for over 3 years, all of a sudden, are they going to just become words?
Well
they got to be widespread.
Well,
right?
They always were words. If it escapes from a small group of people, let's take a word like bling.
Okay.
When that came out, that was pretty much part of the hip-hop and scene. It was used in some hip magazines and so forth. Now everybody uses it.
Mm. I use it on
everybody
a daily
does.
Basis.
Really?
Like, nice
yes.
bling!
And so that's that escaped into general usage, and we have that in. Here in Cleveland, we have a local dialect word, which we do label. Mm-hmm. What do you call the strip of grass that is between the curb and the sidewalk?
Good question. Yeah, so I guess it has to be part of your life in order for it to have a specific word, right? Because I don't think down here we do.
No, and in most cases, in various areas in the country, they don't have. But there are a wide variety of terms for those areas that do have a word for it.
Mm.
Here we call it the tree lawn. But if you drive 35 miles south to Akron, Ohio, they call it the Devil Strip.
The Devil Strip.
Yeah. The Devil Strip. And if you go to certain places in Minnesota, it's called the Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
So
it's a Midwestern anyway, term. Pretty much.
Yeah, it calls for judgment and experience if you're putting together a 1,700-page college dictionary for the general public.
Absolutely.
As to what goes in and what goes out. And you have to have the material to justify your definition.
Mm.
We have a language monitoring program in place that collects examples of what I call emerging English, new words that haven't quite caught on yet. We monitor them. We put them in a database. We get about 2,000 examples a month. And that constitutes the hardcore data we use, not only in our selection, but also in our writing of a definition.
I feel bad for the words. They're like on probation. I imagine them in like a holding cell.
that's very true. And a word we think shows promise, we don't really try to predict the future of a word.
They're competing against each other.
Might get some traction, as they say.
Yeah.
Often doesn't pan out at all.
Yeah. So would you say that the dictionary really reflects the language rather than defines it?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It reports it. It is a language news piece of reporting.
Mm.
Rather than in the old days when the dictionary was there to shake a finger at you and say, don't use this. Nowadays, we're a little bit more democratic about language use. And what we do is...
My mother isn't.
All right. Well, what we do is have an interpretive tool. Somebody said this. We're not going to make a judgment about it, but this is what that person meant. And that helps you interpret what you read and what you hear.
Right.
Ah.
Yeah. Now, so how often do you add words to the dictionary? Is that like an annual thing, or do you do it continuously?
For the college dictionary, yes. Every spring, January, February, and a little bit of March, we add all the new words to the coming year that have established themselves and that have passed our scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
And that could range anywhere from 40 to 120 new words, and those go in at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that every year so that when the consumer goes to the bookstore and pulls the dictionary off the shelf, it's the very latest.
Mm, okay.
All right. So
some dictionaries don't update annually. They wait every 3 or 4 years or even 5 years.
Oh, I see.
Okay. What's your favorite word?
My favorite word Oh, dear.
Have you ever thought? Wow, that's a good question. I mean, I never
thought. I love words. I get the word of the day every day, and so I'm constantly just like,
you know, I know what my least favored words are, but I never thought about favored.
Are your least favorite words in the dictionary?
I'll tell you what my favorite word is. Red Start.
Red Start.
R-E-D-S-T-A-R-T.
Sounds like the beer, Red Stripe.
So it's a type of bird.
Oh, cool.
Type of bird. Wow.
But it is the only word in modern English, standard English, that has preserved the Old English word for tail. Here's a perfectly common word, tail. Why should that fall out of the language? Well, it did. And that's what start means.
Oh, wow.
Ah, wow.
Amazing. You see, I love language. I mean, it's amazing. So now you guys are promoting what, Word of the Year?
That is a different sort of exercise. That is something a little more lighthearted, a little bit more relaxed. We'd like to give people a look behind the curtain of the dictionary making. These are words that we have in the database, and we're tracking them, but they're nowhere near qualifying for entry in the dictionary, but nonetheless they have some interest. Either they reflect contemporary culture, or they're linguistically inventive. People like to coin terms all the time. So we pick one that tickled our fancy or piqued our interest, and we present that as Word of the Year.
Oh,
it's sort of an educational exercise. People can think about that and think about words, and then we hope they'll think about dictionaries.
The word of the day yesterday that I get on my email is chaw bacon.
Yeah, what's that?
Isn't that a ridiculous word?
I don't know if it's ridiculous. It depends on the meaning.
Yeah. It means a bumpkin or a hick. A chaw bacon.
That's interesting, though. I mean, you know, so you guys must be good spellers, too, huh?
You know, I've talked about that during other interviews. Spelling is a very artificial construct, and our best editors here will admit they are not exceptionally good spellers. I use spell check all the time. I look words up to check their spelling all the time.
Then I have no hope.
After all, language exists without being written. So trying to force characters on a system has some problems sometimes. Mm. It's easier in Russian than it is in English, I can assure you.
Actually, I kind of use that as a criteria. I'm on a bunch of online dating sites, and if someone's a bad speller, I'm like, delete, delete.
I know.
Okay, so you want a more intellectually involved.
There you go. Person. Someone who reads, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. And then my next question is, how many books have you read this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, no, you don't have to answer that. But
probably the answer to that is usually zero.
You? Really?
Probably doesn't have time.
For the age group in 30s and 40s, yes, I think most of them would report, I haven't read a book this year.
Wow.
Amazing, amazing.
There was a survey done last year, and the results were appalling, quite frankly.
Oh, man.
Now, I was curious, how long has the dictionary been around, Webster Dictionary?
Well, this is Webster's New World, and it's a consumer nightmare out there because any publisher can use the name Webster's.
Oh,
so
really?
We have trademarked the three-word combination Webster's New World, and we published our first dictionary of this sort in 1951. Editorial work began before World War II, was delayed, of course, and the first one along these editorial principles was brought out in 1951, and that constitutes our heritage.
Right, right. And, I mean, obviously there were dictionaries around before that, right?
Yes, there were. And in fact, we did publish dictionaries before that, but not with this, first of all, this emphasis on covering American language is a perfectly suitable language. Dictionaries before World War II tended to look to British English as the standard.
Oh, yes.
But after Fitzgerald and Hemingway's novels had been published, it became clear that American English as a variant was a perfectly fine literary language. So we championed the cause of American contributions to global English, if you will.
Right, yes.
And we also defined a very strict defining style. We do not talk down to the reader, but we do try to make even the most technical definitions understandable to the average educated adult.
Right.
And that sort of marks our style and presentation.
Mm.
Yeah, I love how there are a couple of different definitions. You know, you've got one, two, three, and four. And then if you don't understand one or two, you're just like, oh, that's what it means. All right, cool. Carry on.
Yeah. Well,
you can often learn about the history of a word by looking at the other definitions. If they're in historical order, and you can see the development of meanings.
Yeah, the history of words is always extremely fascinating.
I think so, yes. And we have an author coming up. His book is something about English being the bastard language, you know? And, you know, whatever that means, I think borrowing from a lot of different languages and stuff.
Yeah.
But yes, it has.
Yes.
It has, and it's inherited or borrowed from Latin, from French, from Latin via French. And, of course, its native core is Germanic.
Mm.
And yet it has been visited by Norse. We have Norse words. Words beginning with SK tend to come from Norse languages. We'll take it wherever we want.
Right, right.
We're just very democratic in our borrowings. Or you could call them thefts, I suppose.
Right, yeah.
So you're pretty good at Scrabble, huh?
Probably.
You know, I haven't played Scrabble in English in years. I still play it in Russian, but not English.
Oh, in Russian, wow.
Amazing. That's cool. Okay, so just to summarize, do you want to give us a website? I guess you have one for Word of the Year?
Certainly. For Word of the Year, it would be Webster's. Let me start over. For Word of the Year, it would be newworldword.com.
Newworldword.com. Right.
And if you want to take a look at the whole line of dictionaries, you can find that at Webster's New World.com.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, we're definitely going to take a look at that. I, for one, am fascinated with words. You know, that's why I love reading so much.
Mm-hmm.
I like to know, like, to sort of connect words in different languages and see where they came from and so forth. And I think it's just amazing, you know, that we have so many languages in the world.
I know.
I share your interest, and wouldn't it have been a dull life if we didn't have that interest?
Absolutely. Okay, Mr. Mike Agnes from Webster's 2000 Word of the Year, and the dictionaries, obviously. It's Webster's New World, right? That's how we can distinguish. Absolutely.
That's correct.
Mike, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate this. And
Thank you. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Absolutely. And keep giving us some great words.
We will do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, now you've got me all into words now, so yeah. I wanted to explain more about chaw bacon.
Okay.
Okay. For our listeners out there, chaw is an alteration of chew that is still used in some English dialects, especially in rural areas. Cured pork or bacon was a staple of some rural folks' diets in the past. And since the 16th century, chaw has been combined with bacon to create a ludicrous name for an uncultured yokel. Over the centuries, the word has lent a delicious dialect flavor to a wide range of publications, but it has become less common in recent decades. Well, you know what? I'm bringing it back.
Chaw bacon. Yeah. I think, you know, at first I thought, well, it can't possibly have something to do with bacon. And now you're telling me that it does. So
it actually
cool.
does. It does.
Yeah.
I know.
Wow.
Go figure.
Yeah.
What's your favorite word?
You know, I don't know if I have one. I mean, because I never thought about it.
When you were learning English, were you ever just kind of like, whoa, that's a weird word, and you want to learn more about it? I should have asked him what the longest word was.
Oh, well, I don't know if he'd be able to come up with it right off the bat, but maybe he could.
I'm sure those are like buzz questions, you know, that everyone asks him when he has like interviews and things.
I'm sure. I mean, just think, you know, when you're like a linguist, a cunning linguist.
Your favorite fucking word.
Yes. Well, maybe that is. Maybe that is.
That is your favorite word.
Yeah, cunning linguist. My favorite pastime, that's for sure.
Oh, man.
But it's a weird word.
Play your clip. Play your clip.
What
the cunning linguist. Oh, you're
no,
a cunning linguist.
Don't need to play it again. You're totally tired of it.
No, it's still funny. We need to get that that poet back on, too.
I know, yeah.
Send her an email.
Okay. I'm sure she's got some great poems.
Oh,
still,
man.
Huh?
I know.
I mean, like, I don't want love. I just want to fuck, blah, blah, blah.
You know, just stick it in between my tits.
Yeah.
Step in my face. Sit on my face, bitch. Ah.
Do you think people don't believe there's actually poems like this? You know what? We'll play it on the way to the break. We'll play
okay.
it. Okay.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, I don't even know.
About words?
No, about just everything. I'm still processing everything that's happened over the weekend. It's kind of...
I'm sure. And until you let it all out, you're not going to calm down. So.
Yes.
So, okay, so go on. I mean, so what happened with this guy, Justin? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, let me back up for a second. So, you know Lisa, my roommate, you met her.
Yes, uh-huh.
So she's a bit of a firecracker. to say the
I
least.
I know, the two of you together, my God, dynamite.
Just wait till you see these Facebook pictures that are coming out today.
Oh, really?
We were too busy getting into the wine last night and unpacking when we got home to actually finish putting all the pictures on Facebook. But we've got some good shots.
Really? So tell us about the pictures.
Is it
more of the same or what?
No, like no, completely different. Completely really? Different. Mm-hmm. You're just going to have to wait and see, Sammy.
Okay.
Save something to talk about tomorrow.
All right. Everybody plan on being on Facebook later on today after Susie uploads all the pictures.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But so, you know, my dad's girlfriend, Judy, she's called in a couple of times. She is a very alpha, strong female. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, she's from New York. You could tell she's from New York. And it's like, she's always right. Not really always right, but you know what I mean? She just has her opinions and she sticks firmly to them. Right. Lisa is the same way. So here I am bringing them into the same house together. And I didn't want to tell either one of them in advance that the other one is a very strong-minded person. Uh-huh. And so I was kind of like, all right, I'm just going to wait and see what's going to happen. Oh, man. On Thanksgiving night, after my dad tried to set Lisa up on a blind date, but didn't tell Lisa and brought this like guy over to the house.
Uh-huh.
You know, Lisa and Judy just ended up just butting heads.
Really?
Yes, and really getting into it.
And that's terrible. You guys were staying with them too, right?
We were staying
wow,
with them.
Wow, how uncomfortable.
Well, I wasn't uncomfortable because I left. I left her
just,
there.
Yeah, just avoid it altogether.
I was like, you know what? You guys are a little bit crazy. Actually, my dad had passed out trying to like get the batteries into the breathalyzer. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not allowed to leave the house unless I take a breathalyzer.
Nice, nice.
So my dad had gone to his bedroom, and I finally was like, where the fuck did my dad go? Because, you know, Judy's like, Susie, you can't drive drunk. And I was like, I'm not drunk. I quit drinking like 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
And then my dad's like, I'll solve this. And she's like, Dennis, you know, go get the breathalyzer. It's in the Beamer. So we go, which means my dad has a breathalyzer, like, in his car.
Really?
I'm like, okay, so this is where I get it. And then finally, like half an hour later, my dad's missing. And so I find him passed out on the bed with batteries from the remotes, like all the remote controls, like strewn all over the place. And the breathalyzer, like, you know, in his mouth.
What a fucking family you guys are, man. Now I know why you're like this. Let's take this call. Someone's been trying to call for a long time. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hey Sam, this is Justin, the guy that Susie was with over the weekend.
Oh, Justin, how are
Hi,
you?
Hi Justin, welcome to LA Talk Radio.
What are you doing listening to her?
Hi Susie.
You're ruining my story. Now I'm not going to be able to tell all the intimate, juicy details.
Yeah, now that she heard, now that you're listening. So what do you want to tell us about Susie?
Susie is crazy.
No.
She is completely out of her mind.
Hey, I am not.
No, and she basks in that, too.
I have the pictures to prove it.
No.
Really?
How do you have pictures?
Actually, you have the pictures. But
exactly. And
you're supposed to send them to me on Facebook.
Oh, they're going to be posted on Facebook. Don't worry, honey.
Do they include Justin in the pictures?
Yes, they
really?
Do. Actually, I don't know if
you've
seen...
Did they make you pose and shit like that? Well, I'm sure you had a good time.
I actually don't know if you could see his face in a lot of the pictures because, like, you see my ass and his hands are on it.
Oh, I'm sure you had a fucking blast, man. He didn't know where it came from.
Justin, do you want to give Sam a little bit of a recap? Justin had so much fun with me that he couldn't leave. He was with me for like 48 hours.
Really?
That's actually true.
Yeah.
I called him sick to work on Saturday night because I work at a bar out here. And we pretty much run like a 48-hour day.
Nice. Yeah,
it started on Friday and didn't end until Sunday morning.
Oh, nice.
My dad ended up taking him shooting with us. We went and shot skeet again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went and shot 12 and 20 gauges, which is...
You know, I've been wondering. I was driving yesterday for 10 hours. Justin, it took us almost 10 hours to get home yesterday.
You're kidding.
No, it was fucking awful. It was so bad. But when I was driving along, I was wondering, I was like, why does my shoulder and my chest hurt right here? And I thought I was having a stroke from all the partying that I do.
Now, did you send Justin away with blue balls? Or, I mean, what happened here? I mean, this guy's probably dying to fuck your brains out. Well, from what I know about Susie, you didn't get lucky, but maybe you did.
Justin, did I give you blue balls?
You had to hesitate. That's a yes.
I don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah, but Susie will do that to you, man. It's pretty painful. I see all the dead bodies she's leaving behind.
Hey.
By the way, I just want to tell you guys had the world's most uninteresting radio guest on right before me.
Oh, I thought it was fascinating. I like words.
You had the guy that writes the dictionary on the radio show.
Yeah. I love that. Well, maybe, you know, I don't know what your mental capacity is, man, but don't tease us about this.
Actually, he's right. That is kind of like hysterically boring.
But it was?
Well,
not for me.
Not for me either. Yeah, but I think for most people, like, hear us talk about sex, and I'm like, oh, yeah, sit on my face. And then,
yeah,
like, all of a sudden, we
talk about
words.
This shit. I mean, we talk about that too, you know?
I know. Yeah. So, Justin, we're trying to find a delicate balance between, you know, being, yeah, you know, raunchy intellectuals.
And don't put down our guests, Justin, because we'll tear you to shreds.
I didn't mean to put him down.
No, okay. All right. So
I didn't mean to put him down.
Okay. So, now, was this the first time you actually spent some time with Susie? I mean, before
no,
it was just...
The last time I spent time with Susie, it was her bachelorette party, and she was engaged to one of my friends.
Yeah, to one of them, right?
Hey! Yeah,
it's one of her engagements.
I'm working through them slowly.
Yeah. She's going to need lots of therapy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, this was the second time we spent a little bit of time together. Last time she got kicked off of her fiancé's lap in a club that I brought them to. So
yeah,
I was happy she was being kicked off of my lap.
Yeah, yeah, she's got a lot of experience being kicked out of places. I think she pushes the boundaries a little bit. Sometimes.
I should have been kicked out of more places in my life. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh man! Somehow I find a way to get away with things.
Yeah, Justin, how long have you lived in Vegas?
I've been here about 4 years.
Oh, 4 years, and where'd you move from?
I moved from Los Angeles, where you guys are.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah,
cool. You like Vegas?
It's okay. Yeah, I'm probably moving back in about a year. I have a job lined up in LA in November of 2009.
He can't stay away from me.
Yeah, he can't stay away from you. But I hate to shatter this for you, Susie, but it's hard to live in Vegas for too long. You know, I've lived there twice and I had to leave after a few years. You know.
I know. Well, why'd you go back again?
The second time, well, it's a long story. It doesn't matter. But I lived there in the 70s and then in the 90s. You know, so it's really different now. Yeah. That's
absolutely
before your time. It's prehistoric for you. Damn,
the 70s in Las Vegas must have been fun.
Oh, yeah. It was a fucking blast, man. You know,
he tells me the funniest stories about having waterbeds and vans.
Yeah, waterbeds and vans, you know, and the Chevy vans. You know, Fremont Street used to be a two-way street with one lane each way, and we would just cruise up and down and pick up chicks every Friday night and Saturday night. It was the best.
Wait, was this with the waterbed in the van?
I didn't have a van, but friends did, yes. And so sometimes it would happen with a van, too.
Ew, that's so dirty. Did you change the sheets a lot?
I don't even know if there were sheets.
Oh, Sam. Oh, I just imagine it being sticky.
I saw your picture online, and I can hear your accent, and I'm picturing you in Las Vegas in the 70s with, like, a bunch of gold chains on.
There you go, you see? It's like, who the fuck
like
is this weirdo?
A really colorful butterfly some shirt.
I know. They're like, who the fuck's this weirdo? But people loved me because I was so different. You know?
Oh, God. Did you have long hair?
Yes, very long hair.
Oh, no.
To my shoulder.
Was it a curly Jufro?
No. Yeah, well, obviously Justin thinks you're very funny, so that's cool. Just don't get too attached, Justin, you know?
I think both of you are very funny. She told me that she was going to be on the radio, so I had to listen this morning.
I actually specifically left LA Talk Radio open on his computer with the mouse, like, on listen.
It's true.
Okay, so you jammed it down his throat pretty
yes,
much.
Yes, yes.
Okay, cool. All right, Justin. Well, thanks a
like
lot.
Like he wishes he had something to jam down my throat.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. So, Justin, do you think you stand a chance bidding this girl here?
I don't know, but I'm gonna try to work it out.
I'm sure you will. You can't let something like this get away.
Justin, tell the listeners about my crazy roommate too.
What's that?
Tell them what you think about Lisa, my crazy roommate.
I think she's completely out of her mind as well.
Yeah.
I think both of you are nuts.
I know. Can you imagine being in their house?
I can't.
I don't.
go ahead.
Well, first of all, there's like lizards crawling around their house.
Yeah.
They're both like naked all the time. Like, I have no idea what's going on.
I know, man. It's the wildest place.
And my poor, and then he handles guns, and then there's my father who walks in, and he's just like, what the fuck? Yeah. My poor father.
All right, Justin. Well, thanks for calling, man. You sound really cool. So you can come into the studio anytime when you're in L.A. And cool. And keep trying with Susie. You never know.
All right. Well, thanks for having me,
okay,
guys.
Take care.
Bye, Justin.
Right. Bye.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're making a lot of friends, and that's a cool thing.
I'm networking.
Yes. There you go. You want to take a little break?
Sure.
Okay. Well, take one. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, and welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you are depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you are dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
She was on your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
Hello, this is George Takei, and I am truly excited to have Sam and Susie in the Morning on my internet radio. Those two are a hoot. I swear if I was heterosexual, I'd ask Susie out on a date. Of course, I'm homosexual, so I'll be asking Sam out instead. Oh my. And now let's get back to Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
This music just wants you to, makes you want to go to sleep or something.
I know, it's funny. Oh God! So I have no voice from pretty much having a singing dance party in my car for 10 hours.
You were singing in your car for 10 hours.
When I'm in my car, I sing at the top of my lungs.
Really?
I mean, I'm like just singing.
Isn't that the best though? I know I do that too.
I mean, I honestly
got the acoustics and everything. You know?
Oh, yeah. I honestly don't know how I'm still alive. Because when I drive, no,
I know, I wonder that sometimes.
Like when I operate a motor vehicle, I am doing everything except paying attention to the road most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I obviously have to pay attention to the road at some point because I am still alive.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I am dancing. I've got a cigarette in hand. Like my hands, and I'm driving with my knee. I'm crushing up Adderall and snorting it while I'm driving. And I'm like, yeah.
90 miles an hour.
90 miles an hour.
Oh, Susie.
Actually,
you're a disaster waiting to happen.
Oh fuck. I actually said to Lisa with the radar detector on though, so it's like K band, and I'm like, ha ha, I caught you, motherfucker! You're not gonna catch me. As I drive by all the other people that got pulled over, it was amazing how many people were pulled over and they weren't even able to speed.
Really?
Yes.
So what were they pulled over for?
There were a lot of carpool violations.
Oh,
carpool
really?
Lane violations. Once we got to LA,
I see.
And then I think like people talking on their phone and stuff like that too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we got another call.
Okay.
Let's see. Good morning, you're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hey, it's TJ.
Oh,
hi, TJ.
It's TJ, good morning to you. I was wondering what would take you so long.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no, I'm recovering. I've been sick all weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't even sound like yourself.
Yeah, no, you don't sound like yourself at all.
Isn't that weird?
Drink lots of fluids.
Everybody's freaking sick these days.
I know. Well, you know what it was? When I was back in New York, my sister lives in this like fucking mansion, and they have these big fireplaces. Like, I can't even explain how big these like furnaces. They have these wood burning heaters that heat the house. Anyway, it's like -50% humidity in their house, and all of the and so like what happens is you get all dry and Anyway, I wanted to tell you a story.
Okay,
go ahead.
All right, if I make it through the story, if I don't live, just call the Andy. Anyway, so this is a Las Vegas. I used to drive back and forth working in Vegas all the time, back and forth, working in nightclubs. Anyway, so I was on my way out there one time, and it was in my first nice car. This is back in 2002. I had a Mercedes. And it was my very first brand new Mercedes, and I'm driving on the highway. And you know when it gets to the point on 15 where it's just like two lanes in each direction.
Yep, right. Yep.
Yes.
You know, well, I'm stuck behind this person going really slow. I'm in the left lane, and this car comes flying up behind me. It's a Mercedes SUV, and they start really flying up on my ass, and I'm like, you know what? If this person, you know, they're gonna tailgate me, and I'm thinking, well, maybe they'll get closer and see that I'm a Mercedes too.
No, there you go.
And then you get some like Mercedes,
you're in the club.
Yeah, exactly.
Some Mercedes. So they get up on my ass. There's nowhere for me to go on the right to let them go by. And even if I let them go by, they're just gonna be right up on the person who's right in front of me. So event, I'm waiting and waiting. They're tailgating me. They start pissing me off. I start telling them to back off. I'm doing everything I can. Anyway, one thing.
Are you slamming on your brakes?
No, that's crazy.
I did that like once.
Really?
I've never done that.
There's a trick. At night, what you can do is with that, instead of actually hitting your brakes, or rather during the day, what you do is when you're driving, instead of hitting the brakes, turn on your headlights.
Mm-hmm.
And because give them the high beam, yeah?
Well, no. If you're driving during the day, Instead of tapping your brakes, what you do is turn on your headlights, and that'll make your rear lights go on a little bit.
And they think it's a brake. Right.
Anyway.
That's a trick from a movie I've seen once.
Oh, gotcha.
So finally, I eventually get into the right lane, and this SUV comes up next to me. And what it is it's these two Japanese guys. And I'm furious at them. I'm giving them the finger. I'm pointing at them. I'm yelling and screaming. And I see that they're Japanese. And I don't think that Japanese people aren't normally this aggressive. They're not normally tailgaters. Normally, they're like, you know, idiots that you have to get away from. But not like that. So I'm furious at these two guys, and they have golf bags in the back, and these two pompous-ass Japanese guys. And they were tailgating me. And so I calm down, and I'm like, just take it easy, you know, you're in your nice car, you know. So about an hour later, I get off the highway, I get back on the highway, and I find myself coming up on the same SUV. They must have taken a longer break. Now they're in front of me.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
Time for revenge.
So as I did, this is the most immature moment of my life. So I speed up, and I get right on their ass, and I come around into the right lane, and I get up really close, and when I got up really close, I honk my horn, and they both looked at me, and the only thing I could think of was to make the chinky eyes. Like that at them.
Oh, TJ.
That was my mature decision, was to get back at them by making chinky eyes.
I would say, like, go back to Japan, or, you know, something like that. Oh, no.
Yeah, I swear to God I did that.
But you know what? This happens all the time when you get on these roads, you know? Because people always, you know, they seem to drive slow on the fast lane and shit. They don't give a damn.
That's the worst when you're the one that's being an asshole, and then all of a sudden, like, you pass someone on the double yellow or something, and then next thing you know, you're at a red light, and the person you pass comes up behind you, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
God damn it.
You know, I mean, and TJ, you know, I've told a story on the air before that I tailgated someone at 70 miles an hour on the freeway after he cut in front of me, and when he I don't know if he necessarily just turned on his headlights, but there were lights in the back, and I totally panicked and slammed on the brake and lost total control of the car.
Shut up.
In the middle of the fucking freeway. And I spinned a couple times, flipped over, but I spinned, and I ended up facing the fucking traffic. Luckily, everybody slowed down and let me start the car and turn around.
Oh,
but all I'm telling you is these are dangerous fucking games. You got to be careful.
The worst I ever did, I was in, like, Nebraska, I think, and I had stopped at a Taco Bell, and so I got two bean burritos. And so I'm driving along, and I ate the first bean burrito, and I was like, oh, I'm going to puke. So I was like, I'm not going to touch that second one. And so I was in my Jetta, and I was going probably, like, I don't know, 90 miles an hour in the fast lane, passing people, and the same thing happened. A douchebag, like, pulls up behind me, and it's like, I'm going fucking 90 miles an hour, like, you know, you really don't need to go any faster than this.
Yeah.
And he's, like, tailgating and turning on his lights, and he's beeping, and I'm just like, what the fuck? So I open the second bean burrito, and I open it so it's kind of an open-faced bean burrito.
Oh,
I open my sunroof, and I huck that bean burrito open face. You could just see it going woo, 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 woo through the air, and it goes splat. And it lands, like, open face on his fucking windshield.
Whoa.
Next thing you know, he slows down. I see his windshield wipers going furiously, smearing the bean schmegma all over the windshield to the point of where he had to pull over. But this is actually why I don't eat Taco Bell ever again.
But you know, that's dangerous. I mean,
I could have gone to jail.
Oh, yeah.
This was years ago when I was young and wild.
Yeah.
You know, I'm much more mature now, Sam.
But people do get really, really... Angry, you know, it's just like outrageous sometimes, the behavior.
It happened to me last night. A guy pulled up, you know, in the middle of the night behind me, and like there was nowhere for anyone to go, and he's got his lights on, and it was like really scary. I'm in a little Mini Cooper, and he's in this huge fucking truck.
Right.
And Lisa was like, Susie, just, you know, take your foot off the gas and like slowly, like, slow down. Just don't do anything. Like, I slowed down to like 40 miles an hour with this guy, and he was like stuck behind me.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do, is slow down.
You know, she said, you know, people will, like, pull up next to you if you make them angry enough and pull out a gun and fucking shoot you.
Exactly. And besides, you know...
I think if you're ever near any Asian people, you need to make chinky eyes.
That's the best answer.
I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so.
Absolutely.
You know, but seriously, I mean, you know, we end up... I know it's really tempting, but we end up... you know, just playing games on the road, and they get angry. Yeah, people just start fighting and shit, mm-hmm. you know, and all this. And these are dangerous games, you know. I mean, many people don't realize when you drive a car, you're driving
it's
a weapon. It's a weapon, mm-hmm. you know.
And it's more than a ton of steel, and you know, and Los Angeles is the one I really learned my lesson one time was back in New York. I was on the Cross Bronx Expressway. No, the Major Deegan. I was on the Major Deegan Expressway right near Yankee Stadium. And I was like in my 20s. I was coming back from Manhattan working at a nightclub. And I'm flying on the highway. And this guy is in one of the lanes. And I just start flashing my brights. Again, I'm an idiot, to my 19, 20-year-old. And I'm flashing my brights, and whatever. And this guy, instead of getting out of the way, he slowed down. Get going in from one lane to the other, wouldn't let me pass them, and then came to a dead stop.
Oh.
And stopped me. Yeah. Had me trapped on the fucking Bruckner Expressway across Major Deegan at like 2 in the morning. And it was all alone. It was me and this guy. And he knew exactly what he was doing, and he had me shit in my pants. I didn't know if this guy was going to get out with a gun or a pit bull or whatever. After about like a minute, he just, you know, he took off and ended the whole thing. But that taught me a lesson.
Yeah.
Don't F around with people.
No,
don't,
but
also, you never know.
Yeah, but Susie, look, you were complaining about someone who is not pulling over on the fast lane to let you through,
mm-hmm.
but then you start playing games when someone is behind you.
Of course, the rules don't apply to me, Sam.
Exactly. You see, and you know what? Most of us are like that, though. I find that I'm the same way. You know, it's like, get the fuck out of my way. But if someone's behind you, it's like, fuck you, you know?
I know.
So, you know, so it's a problem.
Well, if I'm in front, I'm usually going at a very good speed, and there's no reason for anyone to need to get in front of me.
But it's not up to you to decide
yes,
how
it
fast
is.
He goes.
I am an officer of the law with my military background.
DJ, so what's going on? Are you going to skip your show today?
I don't want to skip another show. With these holidays and stuff, but what I want to do is I want to come in and do the first hour. This way I'm live with the people who are expecting me live.
Right.
So I want to come in and do the first hour, and then we can throw on a replay.
Will you please bring like a painter's mask or something? I really don't want to get your SARS.
Oh yeah, no, I'll wear a mask. And
your Purell. Bring some Purell.
Oh, you know, I Purell the micro the pop screen all the time.
I could just imagine you it would look like you're giving a hand job to the microphone with the Purell, and you're like, oh yeah, go die germs, die.
Sam has seen me Purell the microphone.
Yeah,
I Purell it.
Does,
No, I'd boil the studio if I could.
You would what?
Boil the fucking studio.
Boil it.
Oh my god!
But yeah, I think that's the plan.
Boil
I want to come in and do an hour.
Okay. So we'll let your listeners know, definitely. And if you're too sick, you know, that's okay. And we just miss you. You know, I mean, it's been...
I know. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah. But...
I got to get back in there. It's driving me crazy.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, TJ, feel better. And we'll talk to you later. And for those who love TJ, he's going to be on for at least 1 hour. So don't miss it.
Yeah.
And,
all right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Get some vitamin C.
I will.
Bye,
okay.
TJ.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, he sounded sick from the moment he came on.
I know.
And there's another person trying to call during this whole conversation. I just didn't want to interrupt TJ. So if you want to call again, you're welcome to.
Can you conference phone calls?
Of course we can.
Okay.
Yeah. But except when... okay, well, it's a little complicated. But if you call with a number that's blocked, I can't conference you.
Oh.
So I can take the first call, but not the second call if it's blocked. For some reason,
gotcha.
Yeah, it's like an idiosyncrasy of the system. But
that's really weird that it does that.
Yeah,
I hate blocked
know.
Numbers anyway. I hate them.
Yeah,
I know. It's so annoying. It's like, who the fuck do you think you are, like, calling from an unblocked or from a blocked number?
Yeah.
You know, you think you're, like, so big and important that, like, you know, you've got to hide your number?
Yeah. I know. I don't like them either.
I do. I never answer them.
Yeah, you don't answer them, yeah.
I always think people are trying to, like, trick me into picking up the phone.
Yeah, either that or whatever, you know. But here comes another call. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hello.
Hello.
Who is this?
Hey, Suze.
Oh, lean on me when you're not strong. What's up, baby girl?
Who is that?
Lying in bed. It's Lena.
This is my girlfriend, Lena.
Oh, that's Lena.
I think you're friends with her on Facebook.
Yes, because you guys were out that night, and I saw your picture. So
Yes.
And Lena, you did promise you'd come to the studio, so what's going on?
Oh, yeah. I'm just moving right now. Everything's super hectic.
Okay. Lena has amazing breasts. Lena, actually, when you come into the studio...
All of Susie's fucking friends have amazing breasts.
I know, I'm telling you, these are just like top-notch boobs. Really? Top-notch boobies. Lena, do you promise you'll show Sam your boobs when you come in?
Oh, yes.
Show them to him?
Yeah.
Sure.
Just a glimpse, yeah.
Just give him a quick little flash, get a, you know.
Wow, but that'll make me crazy. Maybe you shouldn't do it.
No, yeah. I'm telling you, I'm imagining them right now. And first of all, Lena is like, she's my height, and she's like super skinny, but she's got like a woman's figure. Like she's got these full, big, luscious breasts. Mm. And you know what I mean? Like she just like pulls herself together so well, and she's Egyptian, so she's got this exotic fucking gorgeous look.
Uh-huh. Do you belly dance too?
What, Lena?
No. No, I don't really dance at all.
Mm.
Unless I'm drunk.
Which is all the time. My fellow alcoholic.
Rarely.
Yeah. So, how long have you guys been friends?
We met actually when I was bartending at the Malibu Inn, and she was waiting tables there. And we pretty much just hit it off right away. We'd be in the kitchen and we're just like grabbing each other's boobs and smacking each other on the ass.
Everyone else gets freaked out about that kind of stuff. A lot of girls are like weird. They're like, "Are you gay?" I'm like, no.
No, I just like to play around with Susie.
I know, our friend Christy, I always freaked her out because I would always run up to the bar and I'm just like, ah, and I would lift up my shirt and grab my little boobies and I'm like, hey, Christy. And she's like, oh my God.
So freaked out.
So freaked out. And then Lena and me, no, we're just totally like naked together all the time. Yeah.
You know, everyone's an exhibitionist, but I'm like, I'm just comfortable with my body, you know?
Really? Well, that's awesome because you can get really comfortable. You can get really comfortable in here.
Yes, very comfortable in
there's
here.
There's no audience or anything, and just... Wow. So, Lena, do you have a boyfriend right now?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get rid of him.
Yeah, why?
Aww.
I don't know. He's not worthy.
Yeah, is he in the way?
Kind of.
Your friendship with Lena?
No, I don't know.
He's a good guy. He's just...
He's not very exciting.
No?
No, no.
Yeah.
Okay, but maybe she likes it. I mean, how long have you been together?
A year and a half.
Yeah, you see?
She's in the process of moving out of living with him right now.
Oh, I see.
That's all I have to say.
Oh, okay.
Lena is a personal chef, Sam.
Really?
She creates the most unfucking real food ever.
Really?
Ever. Every time I go over to her house, I'm just like, I open the fridge and I'm like... I'm like, what's in here? Give Susie a bone. And then I get stoned and I leave her house and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to puke. I can't believe I ate this much.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah. Does she cook like Middle Eastern food and stuff?
Lena?
Lena?
Do I do sometimes.
Yeah.
I like Greek a lot.
Yeah. You see all
I like
the...
Greek. I do some Arabic. But yeah. I do everything really. I was a sushi chef for 2 years, so I know a lot of Japanese dishes.
Yeah.
I think I'm talking Japanese.
But a lot of people like Mediterranean food, like you said, Greek and Middle Eastern. You call it hummus.
It's really flavorful and it's really healthy too.
That's true. That's true.
Like tzatziki.
Tzatziki.
Exactly.
Tzatziki. Is that how you say it?
Did you try my lamb burgers, Susie?
Did I try which one?
My lamb burgers.
No.
Oh, I love lamb.
Oh my gosh.
A lamb burger.
Oh, me too. I love lamb. Yeah. Lamb burgers are insane.
Really? Lamb burgers sound just funny. The
I
word.
Love the name.
I know. It's fun to say, huh?
Because it sounds like a hamburger, only it's a lamb burger.
Yeah. Did you make up the word?
Which is exactly what it is. What's that?
Did you make up the word?
I thought of it, like, myself, and I, like, Googled it, and people had already thought about it.
Ah.
Too bad. Like, that could have been your millions right there.
Yeah.
My recipe is original. That's good.
I want you to tell some of your stories on the air, but I don't want to get you in trouble.
Okay. Well, maybe she can sort out her stories.
With your old boss.
Wait, who?
Oh, never mind.
Okay.
Susie, you're gonna get her in trouble.
Yes, for that.
You're gonna get in trouble.
No, I'm not gonna go there.
Yeah, I know.
That's okay.
We'll have to have you call in under an alias or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe you can write a book one day about all this.
Right.
Are you stoned?
No, I just woke up. I'm still in bed.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, wow.
That
doesn't
I'm
mean you can't
to quit.
Be stoned.
Today is my day to quit. I'm quitting December 1st. I've been saying it for weeks. So.
Really?
Quit smoking pot?
Yeah, I have an apple pipe. Yeah, I have an apple pipe sitting right next to me.
Mm-hmm. I thought you said an apple pie.
Right next to me in my bed, because Skylar went on a surf trip. There's a couple pairs of panties, a vibrator, a lighter, and some weed and an apple.
Oh, fuck, man. I'm going to be right there, Lena. Just stick around. That's a great combination.
Don't move. We'll be right over.
Vibrators and pot. Great combination.
Oh, man. Wait, why are there multiple pairs of panties?
And panties, too.
Oh, you know why? Actually, because I'm moving, so I took all the drawers out of my dresser and moved them to my new place. So I was like, I thought ahead, and I was like, I should probably leave a couple pairs of panties here and, like, some clothes. Because I kind of just in the process.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
Can you imagine her moving in with you and Lisa?
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Kind of a fucking place is that going to be?
Oh.
It'd be too wild for me.
Yeah,
it would be too wild.
Yeah. Are you more laid back?
Susie's way more intense than I am. I don't really drink that much.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do
Nobody
drink, I
drinks as much as Susie. Trust me.
Nobody drinks. No, seriously.
Hey.
Like, I only drink 2 bottles of wine every night. It's not a big deal.
Oh, is that all?
She's like, I'm staying in tonight. She's like, I've already had a bottle and a half. I'm good.
I've already had a box of wine. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, a box for sure.
Oh,
you're
fuck.
Crazy. All right, Lena, when you are out on the market for a new guy, you can come in here and we'll match you with someone. Okay. I'm sure you don't have a hard time finding guys.
I'm gonna boycott men for a while.
Really?
Are you gonna go to girls?
Don't waste those boobs.
Yeah, that's a serious waste of some boobage.
Yeah, they need to be played with constantly.
Serious waste of boobage.
We'll see.
All right, Lena. All right, well, go back to bed and good luck quitting your pot.
And get some masturbation done for me.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to do it all weekend.
We'll do.
Yeah, okay, wonderful. Maybe you can do it on the air for us. Do you want to?
Actually, that might be kind of fun.
Yeah. Let's hear your vibrator.
Masturbate?
Yeah. Well, turn on your vibrator for a second. Let's hear it.
Don't you have some porn stars that could do it? You want to hear my vibrator? Okay, hold on.
Yeah, let's hear the buzzing.
Hear it?
No.
Hear it?
No.
Put it right on the phone.
Yeah, put it on the phone. Sounds like a fucking lawnmower. Oh, man.
Well, yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah. Susie, what are you doing today?
I'm going to pick up one of the guys that I'm seeing at the airport, and then I've got school till 10.
Oh, lame.
I know. But I'll be in Malibu tomorrow, so do you want to have a girls' night?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, fabulous.
Cool. And you can tell us all about it. All right, Lena, thanks so much. Have a great day.
For sure. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.
That vibrator sounded hysterical.
It did, man. That was fucking... It, you know what? It sounded like those hammers, those...
Jackhammers?
Jackhammers, thank you.
No, you know what it sounded like? You know what it sounded like to me? And especially, I'm sure it sounds this way when it gets wet. Uh-huh. I'm sure it sounded like, a propeller on a boat. Like,
yeah.
You know, I just imagine it being like sopping wet and just kind of like, you know, spinning all the fluid around.
You see, if I was a woman, I don't know that I could ever get into it or concentrate because you have that noise. I mean, it constantly, all those
vibrators
make
noise. Oh, that's my favorite sound in the world.
Really?
Oh, yeah. But the worst is when it gets loud.
Yeah.
Well, not loud for me, but loud for other people. It's like, if I'm in the house and I know, like, you know, there are people around and I want to be quiet, you know, they don't want to hear like emanating from the other room. Like I told you the one time, I was masturbating with the palm sander.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I had blown up all my vibrators. My boyfriend had spliced the wire so I could plug it into the wall and save money on batteries. You know, electric was included in the rent.
Yeah.
So...
even for sexual pleasures.
Oh, seriously. Well, I only move in with places where they have electric included in the rent. Because I use a lot of power, baby. But yeah, so my neighbor asked me, he's like, Susie, you know, when are you going to be done renovating upstairs? You know, you've been sanding those floors like for weeks now. Like, what is going on? And my face just turned so red. I'm like, oh my God, that is the most embarrassing thing ever. But actually, I have a joke I want to tell you.
Okay.
Now, I'm kind of bad with jokes, so forgive me if I mess it up a little bit.
Okay.
All right, so we've got a bunch of nuns, and they're dead nuns, so they're in heaven, and they're waiting to see St. Peter and go through the pearly gates.
Right.
So Sister Mary Agnes walks up, and St. Peter says, Sister Mary Agnes, have you ever touched a penis? And she says, yes, you know, St. Peter, I did once, but just with my finger. Okay, he says, dip your finger in the holy water and, you know, proceed.
Right.
Next, we've got Sister Mary Bertha. Sister Mary Bertha, says St. Peter, have you ever touched a penis? And she was like, yes, St. Peter, I have. And he's like, and how did you touch it? I touched it with my hand. Okay. dip your hand in the holy water and proceed through the pearly gates. Next thing you know, Sister Mary Susie comes running up and barges all the way to the front of the line. And St. Peter's like, whoa, what the hell are you doing? Like, you just cut like 50 nuns. And she's like, St. Peter, I had to get up here quickly. And he was like, why? And she said, because I wanted to put my mouth in the water before Sister Mary Lisa stuck her ass in it.
Oh, that's funny.
This was the joke told at my Thanksgiving dinner with my family. Yeah. How fucking bad
that's
is that?
Pretty good.
I know. Yeah. Before she stuck her ass in it.
So what was Thanksgiving for you like? Was it nice?
It was actually, you know, this is probably one of the nicest vacations I've had in a long time.
Really?
Nice. You know, it was very very relaxed, very mellow, very drunk, you know, just
was
very...
Was your sister there too?
No, it wasn't my sister. She wasn't. It was just my dad, Judy, Lisa, me, and the two guys from my dad's job that he had over. Mm-hmm. And then Justin came and never left. So we just kind of kept growing with the clan.
So that sounded cool. And who made the food?
Well, Judy had mostly everything done, like all the sides and everything, by the time we got there. Mm-hmm. They were playing golf when we woke up on Thursday morning, so they were out. And then she left us with like a list of things. She's like, polish the silverware, polish the china, you know, do this. And I got to make the cranberry sauce.
Ah.
That's what I like to do.
Do you?
So I made two cranberry sauces, and then my dad did the turkey and a ham. Mm. So we just had so much fucking food.
Wow.
And then
I'm
the next day, I know, me too. Then the next day, I turned the turkey into a soup. Not the whole turkey, but like, you know, the carcass. I made a stock and everything. Because, you know, I like to cook.
Yes.
But yeah, that was pretty much all the food.
Awesome.
I have one more joke I want to tell you.
No, wait a minute. You wrote something about you were turned away from a hike you wanted to take, right? On Facebook,
something.
Yeah, what happened there?
That sucked. I couldn't believe that. You know Red Rocks?
Yes.
Not the hotel, but the actual place. Right.
They call it the Red Rock, not Rocks. I mean, according to what I remember, but
Red Rock. Yeah, I think I think that's right. Yeah. So
it's like you take Charleston Boulevard.
Exactly.
Right.
And this really actually pissed me off. And I don't really get that mad, but so it was the day after Thanksgiving, and Lisa and Will and I are feeling like totally fat and lazy, and we're just like, oh God, we're disgusting human beings. You know, laying around and eating all this food and drinking. So we decided we were going to go for a hike and make ourselves feel better, and also maybe do a photo shoot by some of the pretty red rock, rocks, whatever. So we drive all the way out there, put it in the GPS, and we get to the Charleston Street or whatever, and the Charleston Street was completely stopped with traffic.
Really?
Like completely, completely stopped.
Wow.
So by the time we finally, it took us probably like an hour on that street to get from there to the entrance of Red Rock.
Mm-hmm.
We get to the freaking gate. The cops are turning away one by one every single car because the damn park was at capacity.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. How fucking annoying. You would think they would put a sign at the beginning of the street saying, Red Rock is at capacity. You know, stop waiting in this line.
Yeah.
So we ended up going to Valley of Fire again.
Yeah. Is that fun?
Yeah, I love Valley of Fire. It's really, really cool. Mm. But by the time we got there, it was 3:45.
Yeah.
The sun kind of is already setting a little bit, and it goes behind the mountains. And so it's really cold and really dark, and it had rained there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the sand was like completely muddy, and the rocks were a little bit slippery.
Yeah.
How
fun.
I'm a little rock climbing billy goat. I scurried right to the top of, like, you know, this huge mountain.
Yeah.
And we had a couple good pictures taken there. But, yeah, that place is just so cool because they have all the petroglyphs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got, like, you know, the one sign means shaman. It looks like SpongeBob SquarePants and another one. And they're, like, holding hands and kind of, like, running along.
Yeah.
And, like, these are, like, from ancient prehistoric times. Like, that was, like, their tag, saying, like, the shamans live here. Like, this is our rock.
People actually live there?
Back in prehistoric times, yeah. They actually have
It's all fucking desert there.
I know, but you know, they've got this one thing called the Moose's Tank, and it's called the Moose's Tank because whenever it would rain, it would like hold all of this water, and that's where they would get their water supply from.
I see.
But it's just so amazing to me to see that this history, you know, is still alive and well, and like people haven't like destroyed it or ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got pictures of like deer and antelope and like people like hunting them. Mm-hmm. And so like I guess there used to be like hunting and things going on back or with you know, the live
livestock.
Like
cave art and shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
But isn't that just so cool?
It is. It really is.
like, I don't know, the little kid in me just comes out, and I'm like, wow, prehistoric times.
No, that's the point, is to live in awe all the time, you know? That's the way you got to live.
And it really is, it really is amazing. For $6 per car to get into this national park, I mean, that is an entire, like, week of family fun.
Yeah.
If you ever want to go on, like, a really, really cheap vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, like, you could take your family to, like, any national park, and it's so cheap, and you can do so much and learn so much and just be cultured and yada, yada, yada.
But you got to go camping, right? I mean, because you said, you know, it's cheap and stuff. So, obviously, you're not going to stay at hotels and shit.
Well, you could stay at a motel, or you could go stay in a tent. You know, you could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I don't see you staying in a tent.
No. Well, no, that's not true. In fact, I'm dying to do that.
Really?
You know, I miss it, because I used to do it a lot when I was a child and or a teenager. And I haven't done it in so long. I mean, I'd love to.
Would your wife go
but
camping?
Now, oh, yeah. But it's too cold now, you know? I mean, at night.
You are so finicky.
Why?
It's too cold.
You just told me it was too fucking cold and you had to leave.
No, we didn't have to leave. We had to leave because it gets dark and they kick you out of the park if you're not staying there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dangerous. Valley of Fire is where I almost died the last time I was there.
Yeah.
Because we ran out of water and we got lost. And all the rocks started looking the same. And Judy and Mimi and I were crying. And Judy's like, I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to kill us.
That's scary. I know. You don't even know the way out, huh?
Nope.
It's like, which direction do you go?
And she had prefaced that morning with saying, you know, do either of you guys have a compass? And it's like, I live in LA. I don't have a compass. And my sister's like, I'm a doctor. You know, I've got a scalpel, you know, a stethoscope, but no compass. And so then, like, that was just so ironic that, you know, all of a sudden we almost died.
Yeah.
So I decided to go back to the scene of the crime and, I don't know, have a different experience.
So that's a wild area. It's not a national park or anything.
It is a national park.
It is?
Yep.
So how do you get lost there? I mean, you'd expect there to be signs or, you know, paths or something?
We did not take the path.
Oh, okay.
We took our own path. Okay. Like I do with everything else.
Then I don't feel bad for you, okay?
You've got to be able to explore uncharted territories.
Yeah.
And that's exactly your thought, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You think it's a national park. You're like, how hard can it be to get out?
Yeah.
And that was probably the kiss of death that we thought that.
Yeah.
You know, or else we would have left like a trail of breadcrumbs or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Let's take another short break.
I want one of your halls, actually.
My halls?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll get you a halls. So we'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Previously on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
There's something very sensuous when a woman starts talking dirty, you know? You're not expected to in society,
it's
you know?
It's taboo.
Yeah, kind of. Give us another one. Let's hear another one. A really nasty one.
I'm not asking for love. No long language afternoons of touching and caressing. I'm asking to fuck. To take the whole of you into my ride. To tear your cock from your body with my cunt. To bathe in your cum and lick myself clean. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck. No soft, lovely words and feelings shared. It's better to be your whore than your lover. I want to throw you, rip away your clothes, surprise you with indecency, shove my tits in your face and beg for you to suck them. Sailors have manners compared to me. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck and be fucked.
Wow! I love it.
That was good. I'm actually turned on. You're definitely a cunning linguist, you know that?
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
And we're back.
I just checked my my phone and had my email. Mm-hmm. I'm so sad. I keep getting all these emails from the animal shelter.
Oh.
For the unweaned kittens, the little babies.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't take on anymore, huh?
I really can. It's not, like, appropriate for my living situation, but yeah. I miss doing that. I really love those little fuckers.
Really?
I really, really, really do.
You know that I'm getting, well, this
You're getting a cat?
No.
Maybe no.
No, we're getting a host that wants to do a show on animal rights and stuff. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that would be really cool. I mean, I think it, you know, people love animals, you know?
Absolutely.
And, I mean, especially Americans, they have a very special relationship with their animals, you know?
Well,
I mean,
we're not like in China or in Taiwan. We don't eat our cats.
No.
Although I will say some Chinese restaurants, the food has been suspect.
Yeah. You know, I remember seeing a picture once. I think it was Time Magazine or something. And they showed those, you know, those street vendors and shit. Mm-hmm. And they've got like skinned dogs hanging there.
Oh, man.
I mean, how can you fucking even look at that?
Aw.
You know?
Hold on. Let me spit this out. I'm like, click, click, clicking
it. Yeah, she's got the halls in her mouth. You know, I don't know. I don't get people.
That's not
that,
all I like in my mouth.
I don't get people that like halls. You know, I mean, you just take it because you cough. You
no,
know?
It's good.
You like the taste?
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, can I tell you my other joke again, really quickly?
Yeah.
Okay. So there are three dogs, and they're at the vet, and they're, you know, they're there to be put down. And so the first guy, you know, it's like, well, what are you here for? And the dog's like, raw, raw, you know, I'm here because, you know, the family I lived with, they had a baby, and you know, the baby annoyed me, it cried, so I bit him. So I'm getting put down. And the second dog, you know, he was just like, oh, yeah, I'm just old and mangy, and they don't like me anymore, so they're putting me down because I stink. And the other guy's like, oh, man, that sucks. And so they see the third dog, and they're like, okay, you know, what are you here for? And he's like, oh, man, you know, the missus, she was in the shower, and she got out of the shower, and I couldn't help myself. You know, she was just, oh, man, wet and dripping and succulent and gorgeous. And they're just like, oh, man, that sucks, and she's putting you down for this? He's like, no, I'm just here to get my nails clipped.
That's a good one.
I know, isn't it
cute?
You
know, I've spoken to a couple of women that said when they were little girls, they let dogs lick them down there.
I told you about my Taco Bella.
No.
Okay.
Or maybe you did, but I don't remember.
You forget. Oh, God. No, I had my friend Chase. You know, I came here to visit her years before I moved to Los Angeles. And she had a friend who was from Hungary, this chick, Simona. Mm-hmm. And so we went out for my birthday, and we got completely drunk. No way. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah. Does that ever happen?
But it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and Simona burst into tears. And my plane was leaving at 7 in the morning, okay? So it's mm-hmm. 4 in the morning. We're still up. And Simona's like, I need someone to take out of my baby. And I was like, oh, my God, what's wrong with your baby? You know, and she's like, I'm being deported back to Hungary, and I need someone to take my puppy. And I'm like, I'll take your puppy. So, like, I acquire this chihuahua, like, really drunkenly at 4 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, you know, she said, it only goes to the bathroom on grass. And I said, well, I'm taking it back to Boston. There's no grass right now. It's all snow. And she said, oh, that's okay. It goes to the bathroom on a Vivi pad. I was like, it goes to the bathroom on a Vivi pad? I'm like, what is this?
Oh, a wee-wee pad.
A wee-wee pad. It's a big square diaper that you put on the floor yeah. and the dog, like, pisses and shits on it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, great. So now I'm in LAX, you know, with this fucking dog in a bag, like, 2 hours later. I'm still wasted. I'm, like, sweating the alcohol out of my pores as I'm going through security. I'm just, you know, booze is, like, seeping out of me. And so, of course, I'm wedged in between two overweight middle-aged men on the plane in a middle seat, which is always my luck. But I have the dog with me in a bag. So I push the dog underneath the seat, mm-hmm. and I spread my legs, and I put them on either side of the dog, mm-hmm. so they're kind of hidden.
Right.
So the plane takes off, and the one guy to my left, I feel him, like, next to me looking at me. And I'm like, I have sunglasses on, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of being obnoxious. And so all of a sudden
sunglasses in the plane?
Sunglasses on the plane.
Okay.
And so all of a sudden I hear him going like, I ripped my sunglasses off, and I was like, oh, my God, what? And he's like, well, I thought you wanted to, and he points to the bathroom. I was like, you thought I wanted to go in the bathroom and fuck you? I'm like, oh, my God, ew.
You told him that?
Yes. And so then his face turns red, and he gets embarrassed. This yeah. goes back to the dog licking things. I'll get there in a minute.
Yeah.
But so all of a sudden, everyone on the plane starts screaming in, like, a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
The dog had nosed her way out of the bag. And he thought that I was rubbing his foot with my foot.
Really?
Because my foot was under the seat. Meanwhile, it was the dog that was, like, licking his toes or, like, rubbing his foot. And the dog just took off running underneath everyone's feet on the plane. So I'm like, Jesus Christ. And I jump over the other guy and I'm running. I'm like, Bella, Bella, Taco Bella. Because that was her name. She was a little chihuahua.
Yeah. Taco Bell Chihuahua.
Taco Bella Chihuahua. Yeah. But so anyway, I survived the plane ride and I make it back to Boston. And the first thing I do is I go and I hop in my bed and I've got to masturbate. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been away for a while. So I'm in my bed and I leave the door cracked. Next thing you know, the dog dives under the covers and just starts fucking going to town.
Wow.
I was so horrified. I grabbed the fucking dog like a football, and I was like, oh, yeah! And I hucked it across the room. The dog hit the wall, fell down to the floor, and started having a seizure.
Oh, my God.
So... I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck am I gonna, like, now I feel bad, so, you know, my vibrator's still laying on the bed, zzz, and I'm, like, trying to, like, resuscitate the dog. I'm like, what, I fucking acquired an epileptic, like, pussy-licking chihuahua. So that was, like, my first experience with this silly dog. You know, she ended up becoming, like, a very big part of my life, and I ended up, like, loving her ridiculously. But but I'm telling you,
this was a female dog.
A female dog. She was addicted to sex.
Really?
Anytime I would be having sex with my boyfriend, I would try and close the door. It sounded like a 2-ton elephant was trying to get into the room, not his 10-pound chihuahua. She's like bang, bang against the door, like trying to get in because she could hear and smell the sex.
Yeah.
And then other times, like when I was having sex with the dog around, and you know, I couldn't lock her out. I'm telling you, as soon as like the money shot would come, the dog would like dive onto the bed and just start trying to like clean.
Start licking it?
Start licking it. And I'm like, oh my God, what did your Hungarian mother like teach you? But I'm telling you, Sam, this dog was addicted to sex and to cum. Like it just wanted to like lick it up all day, like a Slurpee.
My God. I know dogs will go for the stinkiest, grossest things.
Oh.
You know?
It is unbelievable.
I mean, let them just smell shit all day and they're happy.
I know. You know? What the fuck is wrong with them? And yet we have these guys as our companions.
Yeah, and then you let them
lick
your
face. That's not all Bella liked to lick. Oh.
It's disgusting.
Oh, man. But can you believe that with the dog? First of all, the fat man on the plane, he thought I wanted to like shtup him in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Is it shtup or stoop?
Stoop.
Stoop?
Stoop.
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 Stoop. Yeah. I'm working on my Junus.
Yeah, and you're Yiddish.
Yiddish.
Yeah.
Yes. But isn't that just nasty?
Yeah.
I need a new dog.
It is. I know dogs like to be in the room. I remember when we had a dog, we'd have to throw him out of the room, because he'd just come and start sniffing my ass. Well, no, fuck it. But I find it too, I don't know.
Find it pleasurable?
No, maybe,
Sam!
No, maybe I think, maybe it's weird, but I, you know, when I think of like... a teenage girl or something getting licked by a dog. It's kind of a turn on, you know? You think she wants
bad. It's technically like bestiality and illegal.
It is.
But like, why should that be illegal if the dog is, you know, a consenting adult dog?
The dog is not consenting. That's the whole thing.
It is consenting.
Everything is illegal when the person or whoever cannot consent. That's why it's illegal to have sex with minors because they're not at the age of consent. The same with animals. The same with rape. The same with all that stuff.
There's no rape?
There's no consent. Yeah. No, I'm just saying. But anyway, we got a phone call. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hi there. This is Will.
Hi, Will. How are you?
Do you know Will?
I'm doing smashing.
I do know Will. Will just actually spent the weekend with me in Vegas.
Oh.
This is Lisa's cousin.
Oh, that's
cousin.
Will. Yeah, that's right. Okay. How you doing, Will?
I'm doing pretty good. It's beautiful out.
It is unbelievably gorgeous out right now. I can't get over it.
So what do you think of those two wild girls? I mean, how do you manage in that house?
I go hide in a corner occasionally.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, these chicks are something, huh?
Will is the guy that I met on a plane home from Vegas.
Right.
A year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And I was totally drunk, and he was the guy who was just laughing at me, because I guess I was being obnoxious and funny.
No, not you.
And,
surprise.
But I was so drunk when I got off the plane in Los Angeles, I was standing, outside of the baggage claim, and I couldn't remember where I parked my car. So I'm standing there looking thoroughly confused, and he came up, and he was kind of laughing at me, and he's like, can I help you? I was like, No, I don't need any help. And then I was like, yes, you can help me. So for 2 hours, he and his girlfriend drove me.
Pathetic.
I'm pathetic?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. In a very cute way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
so. Make sure you qualify that.
I'll kick your ass.
I know. You have those thighs we were talking about this weekend.
My thighs? Oh, God, yes.
What about them?
They're ridiculously strong.
Really?
I think I actually...
She almost killed my cousin in the hot tub.
Seriously. Fuck, I forgot
like,
I squeezed
her. Wind out of her.
I forgot I squeezed Lisa.
Really?
I put her between my legs and squeezed her. Oh, God.
Yeah, you refuse to grow up.
Oh,
that's
man.
Cool.
Why? Why should I?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the point? It's boring
What's
being
the point?
An adult.
Yeah, you'll have plenty of time to be an adult.
I forgot I squeezed her. No, I'm telling you, that was like, I from ballet and just cycling, my inner thighs, Sam, are ridiculously strong. Mm-hmm. Like I can.
Dude, you should get in there.
Sam should get in
between
there?
Between the thighs?
You should try, yeah. Because
yeah.
they're strong.
Why, did you go between them?
I have no comment.
Okay,
all right. He's wanted to be between them.
I'm
but,
sure,
he,
I'm sure. Just like all the other guys, take a fucking number.
Yeah.
You got to be careful being turned on by Susie, man. It's usually blue balls.
Anyway. Yeah, no, I've never had that problem with Susie.
Never had a problem with Susie. Okay.
Yeah. No, I've always knew. I knew from the beginning that she was a cock tease.
Yeah.
So.
Really?
Yeah, she is.
I give off the aura of cock tease.
Well, duh. After you leave the guy hanging.
Well, I mean, like, I don't want it to like seem like I'm a cock tease. Like, I don't know. I don't want people to meet me and be like, oh, cock tease.
Well,
yeah, you want to be able to suck him in and then really blue ball.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yes, that's,
and
what,
that's
I
what she does.
To do.
Susie's just very mean about that.
She's yeah. Well, I don't think she's mean, you know. It's just that I think her set of rules is different from other people, you know. It's like for Susie, it's like innocent to pick up guys and
yeah.
start, you know, start having fun. But people are not used to seeing that from women, you know. So you just go, yeah, she's forward. Maybe she wants it, you know.
Yeah.
No, that was aptly put.
Actually, while we have you on the phone, Will, so Will got a girl to make out with him. We were at Tao in Vegas, which is like the hottest club that's out there right now. Justin actually got us in. He got us on the list, and you know we got in for free and everything. But anyway, so Lisa found a guy to make out with, and he was a Johnny Depp Argentinian lookalike.
Really?
And so, so we've been trying to get Lisa laid for a really long time, Sam,
yes,
like
yes.
3 years.
Right.
For yourself.
Yeah.
No, I'm speaking for Lisa. We've been trying to get her laid for like 3 years.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
I'm talking for Lisa, not you. So the Argentinian Johnny Depp lookalike guy, you know, he grabs her very aggressively, you know, and she was kind of consenting just by the way she was dancing and by what she was wearing, the way she moved. But he fucking grabs her, Sam. He, first thing, like 5 minutes into knowing her, he sticks his finger up her ass.
Really?
At the club on the dance floor.
Not her ass.
It was, and then he took his finger out and he smelled it.
What?
Oh.
How did he get to her ass so quickly and easily?
Where she was wearing a dress, and he just grabbed her and he shoved it right in there, like he was testing her oil.
Through a dress, though.
Underneath the dress.
Underneath the dress.
Underneath the dress.
Wow, what did she do?
What, Will?
There was definite like contact, skin to skin contact, or asshole to skin contact.
Yep.
What did she do? I mean, she must have jumped. No, really. I mean, fuck, you know?
Oh,
finger
God.
Up your ass out of nowhere?
How shocking. Like, imagine you're just like, you're dancing, you're drunk, you're having a good time, and all of a sudden, whoop! I was like, well, did he lick it first? You know, did he, like, lube it up? You know, or, I mean, that's just raw, rough, you know, shockage.
Yeah.
But so she was...
That's sexual assault, I think.
I know, it is. So, you know, she kind of was like, whoa, buddy, calm down, and tried to, like, push him off a little bit.
Not if you like it.
But she kind of did like the way he looked, and she had a little bit of chemistry with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we all kind of decided that I was going to go home with Justin. Will disappeared for 2 hours. We don't know where he went, but we think he went and got a hotel room and was... But so anyway, I meet up with Lisa.
Vicious lies. Okay.
It's not a vicious lie. Not if it's true. It's not a vicious lie, huh? But yeah. So then all of a sudden, the guy introduces Lisa to his guy friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing he says, he's like, "This is the girl with like the sweetest pussy and the tightest ass." Like that is what he said to his friends.
Right.
And she was like, "Okay." Instantly, I just got dry. You know,
yeah.
I was totally wet before and hot for you, and instantly you just dried me up instantly with that comment. Like, don't treat me like a piece of meat and be like a total asshole. You know, she was interested in taking him back and fucking him.
Yeah, but he fucked it up. Yeah.
He totally fucked it up. He could have had a wild time because I think she is probably going to be one of the craziest people I've met.
Oh, yeah, she's so fucking horny by now. 3 years. Wow, that's
uh-huh,
a long time. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, Will, are you in Vegas now or are you in L.A.?
No, I'm in... Oh, God, I... Finally made it to LA last night.
He was in the car with us.
Night.
Oh, he was in the car.
It was horrible.
That's right. You guys drove back and forth together.
Yes,
that's
yes.
right. Okay.
It was horrible. Yeah. I thought it was wonderful.
10 hours.
Yeah, 10 hours, and you had to listen to Susie sing the whole fucking time.
Yes, we did.
Oh, man.
What did you think of our photo shoot, like, on the side of the highway and with the guys, like, stopping and taking pictures of us?
It was beautiful. I thought it was very artistic and a good use of time in a traffic jam.
Yes. See? Thank you. Thank you.
There you go. You see? Okay.
I think she should have been arrested or something, but geez.
Yeah. I know. She should have been arrested so many times for the shit she does.
I do it with an innocent heart, and I guess the officers of the law can see that shining through.
Yes. They probably think they're
okay, hold on. Yeah, I got to vomit here. That was rich.
The cops have innocent blue balls heart. For her, too.
Now, that is so true.
Yeah.
Do you have a crazy old guy that lives on your street, and when you say good morning to him, he says, fuck you?
No, who said fuck you to you?
Dude, there's this guy who's old, who's, like, wobbling down the street. He had a cane, and he just said, I was like, morning. He was like, fuck you.
Really? What a polite neighborhood. All right, Will. Well, listen.
What did I do to you?
Listen, we got to wrap up, Will. So thanks for calling, man. And sometimes you should come in
thanks,
also.
Ma'am.
Okay.
That'd be awesome. All right. Have a good time, guys.
Bye, bye-bye. Will.
Bye.
Okay. So, man, you met a lot of people this weekend.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Oh,
Johnny Depp lookalike who sticks his finger up chick's ass.
He stuck
ass
her finger, his finger in her ass, took it out, and sniffed it.
Do you know how much fucking balls this requires?
That takes, like, big hairy balls.
It really does.
Massively hairy balls. You know? So Lisa tells my dad that this guy did this to her. Oh, my God. My poor father. You don't even know this weekend. We were just, like, out of control. Lisa would just make these comments. Like, we're sitting there having Thanksgiving dinner, and she's like, I just want someone to stick their tongue down my throat. And we're like, where did that come from? Hello, non sequitur. We were talking about turkey and gravy, and she just comes out with these things.
Yeah.
And then my poor conservative, quiet father. And yeah. then,
But, you know, I feel that if she really wanted to get laid, she could have done it a long time ago. I think she's subconsciously not wanting
to. She can.
To,
no, she can. I agree with you. And she knows that she can. But mm-hmm. she doesn't want to just go and fuck anyone. She wants it to be someone she has chemistry with so she can have really deep, crazy passion.
But does she try dating different people, like online dating and shit like that? And
she
speed
said,
dating?
This is what she said. She said she actually tried eHarmony 3 times. Uh-huh. And every time, like, they rejected her profile and they wouldn't let her on. They won't even take her on eHarmony.
Why? What do you think she wrote?
Well, that's what I said. I was like, well, what the hell did you write? Because on my eHarmony profile, I mean, I don't look like a saint. Yeah. I've got some pretty crazy things that I've said on there. But she's like, I say cock and vagina, and I want to be taken this way. And, you know, she's like, I don't hold back. And, I say exactly what I want. And if they're going to have a problem with it, then fuck them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really would actually like to see that profile and see exactly what it was. So, I have a question. That's funny. My voice sound sexier? Like, I'm talking for my phone interview for the phone sex operator.
Right.
Does my voice sound sexier right now that it's a little, like, raspy?
Husky and... Yeah. Yeah.
Or does it sound better? Should I wait a day or two until I don't have, like, the raspiness?
No, your voice is cool. I mean, yeah, that's fine. You're going to get the job, no problem.
What if I don't?
Because it's not only the voice, it's the attitude. I mean, you can make guys go crazy.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure. You know?
Actually, you know who I saw in Vegas on Friday night?
You would do very well on that. You
Thank
have
you.
A lot of regulars, I'm sure.
Oh, my.
Try it, Susie. What the
I
fuck?
Really will. I really will.
There's no downside to it.
But you remember my girlfriend Rachel, who called into the show a while back?
Yes.
The one who, when she was 14, stumbled across Bob in her mom's bed, the 2-foot black dildo?
Yes.
She was in Vegas for Thanksgiving as well.
Mm.
So I stopped by to visit her family. And holy shit, they were fucking nuts.
Really?
Absolutely.
In what way?
Like the stepfather, I get there, and the stepfather's like wasted playing quarters with his stepdaughters. You know, like smacking his 16-year-old stepdaughter in the ass. And like, he's like, come on, keep drinking. Let's party. And I'm just like, whoa, these guys are out of control.
Even for you.
Even for me. Well, just because like, you know, partying like this in front of your parents, I party hard, but I never, I mean, I drink now in front of my parents, but I don't get ridiculously out of control when I'm in front of them. And, you know, I'm certainly not allowed to have friends over when I was underage to get wasted and party like this.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, like, her mom shows up later, and her mom is, like, this big or big, like big-breasted, like buxom, gorgeous blonde. Uh-huh. You know, and she comes in the door and she's like, "Oh my God, the neighbors are calling the cops! Like, what the fuck?" Because like the two boys are out in the front yard wrestling. We've got music blasting, and we're just running around the house, just totally making destroying the place. Oh God, it was completely crazy. It was kind of like Animal House. But so anyway, Rachel. She's got the best voice in the world when she started doing this. She was like, "Susie, do you think I can come on the radio show and, like, you know, pretend to be your lesbian lover?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely. Sam would love that." And she's like, "I've got this great voice." And she's like, "Ah, come on my face. Yeah, give it to me." And the way she was just doing this, I was just dying laughing. And this is in front of, like, her stepdad and her sisters. And I'm like, "Oh, man." And then her other sister comes out of the bedroom with a fuck knot in her hair. And I was like, "Oh, hi. Nice to meet you." Yeah. And the stepdad's like, "Did you get it good, honey?" And I'm like, "Wow, this family is completely crazy. Crazier than mine."
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
God.
We'll definitely have to entitle the show Susie's Crazy Friends.
Oh. Because
okay. It's been pretty crazy. Anyway, we're at the top of the show here. So we're going to go.
I'm off to school to be scholastic.
Yes.
Yes.
Enjoy the beautiful, beautiful day outside.
I will.
Just amazing.
I know.
And stay tuned, of course, for Alan Cardoza coming up next with Answers for the Family. Always a fascinating show. Of course, we've got TJ who will do 1 hour, maybe two. We don't
know
yet.
Depending on how he feels.
Right. We have Johnny Dam. We have Jules and James. We have Liberated Living. We have Inside Out. We have all these great shows. Don't miss them. And we'll see you right here.
Tomorrow.
Listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want. We'll be right back.